Leviticus chapter 4, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, If a soul shall sin through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and shall do against any of them, if the priest that is anointed do sin according to the sin of the people, then let him bring for his sin, which he hath sinned, a young bullock without blemish unto the Lord for a sin offering. And he shall bring the bullock unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord, and shall lay his hand upon the bullock's head and kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall take of the bullock's blood and bring it to the tabernacle of the congregation. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood seven times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take off from it all the fat of the bullock for the sin offering, the fat that covereth the inwards, and all the fat that is upon the inwards, and the two kidneys, and the fat that is upon them, which is by the flanks, and the caul above the liver, with the kidneys, it shall he take away. As it was taken off from the bullock of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar of burnt offering. And the skin of the bullock, and all his flesh, with his head, and with his legs, and his inwards, and his dung, even the whole bullock, shall he carry forth without the camp unto a clean place, where the ashes are poured out, and burn him on the wood with fire. Where the ashes are poured out, shall he be burnt. And if the whole congregation of Israel sin through ignorance, and the thing being hid from the eyes of the assembly, and they have done somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which should be done, and are guilty, when the sin which they have sinned against it is known, then the congregation shall offer a young bullock for the sin, and bring him before the tabernacle of the congregation. And the elders of the congregation shall lay their hands upon the head of the bullock before the Lord, and the bullock shall be killed before the Lord. And the priest that is anointed shall bring of the bullock's blood into the tabernacle of the congregation, and the priest shall dip his finger in some of the blood and sprinkle it seven times before the Lord, even before the veil. And he shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar which is before the Lord, that is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour out all the blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering, which is at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And he shall take all his fat from him and burn it upon the altar. And he shall do with the bullock as he did with the bullock for a sin offering. He shall do with this. And the priest shall make an atonement for them, and it shall be forgiven them. And he shall carry forth the bullock without the camp and burn him as he burned the first bullock. It is a sin offering for the congregation. When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar, as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings, and the priest shall make an atonement for him as concerning his sin, and it shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin, which he hath sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin, which he hath sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood thereof with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat that is taken away from off the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for a sin offering, he shall bring it a female without blemish, and he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering, and slay it for a sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and put it upon the horns of the altar of burnt offering, and shall pour out all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away all the fat thereof, as the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of the peace offerings, and the priest shall burn them upon the altar according to the offerings made by fire unto the Lord. And the priest shall make an atonement for his sin that he hath committed, and it shall be forgiven him. May God add His blessing to the reading and to the hearing of His Word. In Leviticus chapter 4, then, we have four different offerings, all of which are characterized as sin offerings. There is an offering for the priest that is anointed, the high priest. There is an offering for the people generally, the entire congregation. There is an offering for a ruler of the congregation. And then there is an offering for the commoner of the congregation. They are all, however, sin offerings. Now, you will notice that in each of the four instances, that's my procedure will be to talk about what is common and then what is delineated between them. You will notice that in each of the offerings, the sin is a sin of ignorance. I cannot stress that enough to you, that there is a presumption made on the part of Moses here, literally on the part of the Lord, that we're not going to sin against Him presumptuously. We're not going to go ahead and sin if we know it to be wrong. But each of these sins are sins of ignorance. And when they become known as a sin, that triggers in us the desire to have that sin atoned for. And in Old Covenant parlance, what that meant was bringing a sin offering to the priest. You see the presumption there. The presumption is we're not going to sin high-handedly against the Lord. If we know something to be wrong, we're just going to avoid that. Now, what does that mean? It means this, that we don't see how close we can come to the boundary and still be right. It doesn't mean, well, just tell me what the limits are, what the outward boundaries are of doing what is right, and I just won't go beyond those boundaries. But I do want to be able to go as far as I can, you know. The presumption here is that we're going to avoid what is evil to the best of our knowledge. And even in avoiding what is evil to the best of our knowledge, we will do what? Sin ignorantly against the Lord. It also points up to us the biblical fact. It is not disputed. It cannot be disputed. The biblical fact that there is such a thing as a sin of ignorance. Sin is objective and not subjective. Oh, if we could get this through the minds of our evangelical brethren today, we'd be halfway down the road to teaching them the gospel, wouldn't we? Sin is not subjective. It is objective. It's not a sin because I says it's a sin. It's not a sin because I don't like it. It's not a sin because, you know, it offends the community. On the other hand, it's not innocent because you didn't know. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. It does not mitigate the violation of the law. The law of God is something that when it is violated, it requires atonement. It requires restitution. It requires being made right with God, because when God is offended, He is eternally so and can only be pacified through the sacrifice that He has appointed. And even after regeneration, even after we become Christians and are regenerated by the gracious operation of the Spirit, sin continues to be sin objectively. Ignorance is still sin. When we are ignorant of our duty, we're guilty of two things. We're guilty of not doing our duty, and we're guilty of ignorance. It only adds to our sin rather than mollifying or mitigating our sin. You see that? That ignorance is also a sin. So then, whenever we talk about sin, we talk about the violation of the law of God, and that objectively to us. Regardless of our understanding, regardless of how we feel about it, regardless of that narcissistic inward looking, gee, how did I feel about that action? Did I feel guilty or not? Did it violate my conscience or not? You see, sin is objective to us. We must not ever think that if we do something in ignorance, that we are clear. No, not that way. All right, so then let's take a look at some of the things that are different. First of all, the first two offerings, I don't know if you noticed this or not during the reading, but the first two offerings are the same. It is the same offering and the exact same actions, with one exception, between the offering for the priest that is anointed, the high priest, and the offering for the entire congregation. For the priest that is anointed, if he sins, it's the same offering, the same bull, it's the same actions done to the bull, it's the same disposal of the carcass of the bull. The only difference is that the priest himself places his hand on the head of the bull. If it's a sin offering for the congregation, it's the same bull, the same kind of bull, without blemish. It's the same kind of offering. It's the same kind of parts of the bull that are put to the burnt offering. It's the same kind of disposal of the carcass. The only difference is that the elders of the people come and they place their hands upon the bullock. That's the only difference between the two. Now, I'm speaking primarily to those of you who may aspire someday to church office. You see the greatness, the difficulty, the danger, the peril of a sinning church guide. It's the same offering as if the entire congregation sins itself. The reason for that is that when a church guide sins, when a church officer sins, when a preacher sins, he leads the entire congregation off into error. Let not many of you become masters, James says, knowing that we shall incur the stricter judgment. It is a greater responsibility. It is a greater judgment. Because when the priest that was anointed sinned, and that was the church officer of that day, when a preacher, a pastor, sins today, when elders sin today, they lead entire congregations astray. And so the atonement offering, the sin offering for the entire congregation, was the same as the offering for the priest that was anointed that sinned. You see that? The second thing I want you to see here is the great sermon that was preached through these actions as long as the people understood it in that covenantal context of looking forward to their Messiah. What was done with that animal? First of all, the priest or the elders of the congregation placed their head upon the animal, transferring symbolically, ceremonially, their sin to the animal. Then the animal was slain. His throat was cut. You know why they cut their throat? So they could collect the blood Because they had something very specific and very intellectually preaching to do with that blood. It was put in a basin, and the priest walked in and had to come with the guilt of that death before God. He came where the Shekinah was just on the other side of the curtain, and he had in a dish the blood of that sacrificial animal that was slain for his sin. And he brought that before the Lord. And what do you think he's thinking? What is he thinking? And he dips his finger in that blood, and seven times he has to sprinkle that blood. Most commentators say it was upon the veil. He sprinkles the blood, crying out to God for mercy by the blood of this sacrificial animal, because he has sinned against the God whose Shekinah is on the other side of the curtain. Then what does he do? He takes that blood again, and he turns to his left, and he goes over to the altar of incense. And the altar of incense represented the altar of intercession. That was the prayers of the saints. That was where the intercessory offering had gone up. And so on the pillars, it says the horns of that altar, most commentators agree that those horns look like pyramids, like little pyramids or points. You know, four little points on the, not little, you know, substantial, but small, not great big. And so that altar of incense being about 2 feet by 2 feet, with those four points on the end of it, those four standards that came up, then with strong crying and tears, if you will, he intercedes for his own sins by wiping the blood of that animal upon those four horns. Crying out in the strength, right? Because that's what the horn means. The strength of intercession for his sins. Then he came out with the blood still in the basin. And the rest of the blood he poured out on the side of that great big hibachi, that great big grill, that barbecue, that offer, that the altar of burnt offering. You see what he's preaching here to the people in these actions. He's preaching the guilt of sin and death and blood right before the Lord. He's preaching that sin must be atoned for, because sin is an affront to Almighty God. And so seven sprinkles upon the curtain, meaning a complete removal, a complete expiation from the sin seven times. And then the power of intercession to his left hand there at the altar of incense, wiping the blood upon those symbols of power, upon the power of intercession there. And so we are having a sermon to us preached of the atonement and intercession of the Lord Jesus Christ, of His oblation and His intercession. And then He comes out so that the entire congregation can see Him now. And He comes out with the realization that He has sinned before God, and that He has prayed to have His sin removed. And then with the rest of that blood, He pours it out as an offering before the Lord, that in the death of that animal and the receiving of that, of the death, of the penalty by the Lord, his sin is forgiven. And then he takes the deepest and the richest portion of that bullock, and he reaches as deep and as far down as he can in that bullock, and he brings out those deep and rich inward parts, the fat that is upon all of those internal organs that he is commanded to bring out, because those, to the Hebrew mindset, were the deepest and the richest portions of that animal, and those are burnt as a burnt offering upon the altar there. And so with the deepest and richest part of his being, he is crying out to God for forgiveness, in that he has led the entire congregation astray by his sin. And the congregation, when they come, they realize that they have been led astray. And so they place their hands on the bullock, saying, "Oh, with the deepest and richest parts of our beings we come before thee to be cleansed of this sin." And then what? Well, that burnt offering is a sweet savor acceptable to the Lord. The Lord, with his anthropomorphic nostrils, smells up that savor and is satisfied. But there's one more thing left. And that is that the rest of that animal upon whom the sins have been transferred must be taken out, away from God, away from the camp, to the place of eternal burning. And he is poured out with the ashes, and he is consumed entirely, never to be heard from again. What a terrible picture of the judgment of hell that was enacted upon that sacrificial victim. You see the great sermon that the Lord had His people party to as they witnessed the actions of the great priest as He atoned for their sins and for His own. What an awesome and scary thing it must have been for the high priest to walk into the presence of God with that blood, thinking that this blood is standing for His own. And what a comfort to know that in the intercession, in the strength of the intercession of Christ, and in the strength of the receiving of the offering, and in the sweet savor and pleasing savor to God, that His sin is swept aside, laid upon that animal, and that animal itself consigned to the eternal fires of hell. Burnt whole, away from the camp, far away from the face of God. Wow. What a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has done for us. Consigned as He was to the punishment of Almighty God. When He cried out on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? What is He preaching except that very fact that that sacrificial animal was taken away from the presence of God? So then we have the other offerings. And because they are of lesser import, because they are more private, it's a private ruler and a private citizen, they are not as severe because they do not affect the entirety of the congregation as the high priest sinning or the entire congregation sinning. What is that but showing us the great covenantal nature with which we are united one to another? And so, when the congregation sins, we all suffer together. You remember a few weeks back when we were talking about Achan and his sin, and how that when they went over and they built the monument that they called Ed, that the tribes of Israel got up and headed straight over there, and then the first thing that they said to them was, "You remember what Achan did when he sinned in the abominable thing that the entire congregation suffered for it." And so we see a difference that the Lord places between these sins that are, if you will, covenantal, that affect the entirety of the church, and those that have a more private nature. It does not mean that the private sins are less important. They too must be atoned for. There is an offering, a sacrifice given for them as well. The offerings are very much the same, except that those offerings are not brought within the veil. They're not brought before the veil. They are brought only to the offering of intercession, to the altar of intercession, the altar of incense, and then to the altar on the front, the altar of burnt offering outside the veil. And notice that in the final portion, that when a commoner sinned, that they could bring a female for their offering. And commentators are divided as to why some might, or why they might be allowed to bring a female. Some have said that it's because males or females could bring this offering. That's probably true. Others have said it is because that since a female was a less costly animal than a male, we might have the children of Israel able to bring a female as if they were to bring like a turtle dove, because it would be less costly to them. Regardless of the reason, what we're being taught here is that from the high priest to the congregation to a ruler of many down to an individual, sin is sin. That there is an offering for all. That none are frozen out of the grace and forgiveness of God because of their station, or even because of the largeness or aggravation of their sin. That there is indeed an offering for sin. In those days, these animals pointed to the day when Messiah would take upon Him, as it were symbolically, when all of the people would place their hands upon His head and the Lord would lay upon Him the iniquity of us all. In these days, we no longer understand the blood of bulls and goats to be of any efficacy at all, because we stand in the full light of the gospel of Christ and His sacrifice for us. Let's stand and call upon the Lord in prayer. Or